Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak.
Thank you very much, Jay, and it's great to be able to share with you tonight from this one of a series of messages about the seasons of prayer. And I'm really loving the idea of the seasons of the Spirit this year and really getting into prayer. And our goal is that people will be praying more effectively, more godly way, in a more biblical way, that all of our prayer lives will be transformed during this time and we can be ready for the other seasons of the Spirit that are still to come. Many years ago, it was about 10 years ago, I was listening to the radio in the car, and as I was listening, I heard Tim Costello being interviewed. And I really admire Tim Costello. I think he has a great public witness as a Christian. He's one of the respected, well-known Christians, public Christians in Australia. And he was being interviewed about his spiritual life and how he understood different things about that. And particularly, he was asked about prayer, and he was asked what was his understanding of prayer. And he said that in his understanding, prayer was not something you did because you wanted God to do something, as if you were going to change God. But he said prayer was something that you do because it's good for you. It's a spiritual exercise so that you're improved by the process of prayer. And he values it for that reason, not because, to put it in a very simple way, not the way he put it, but not because God answers prayer. And I was quite sad as I heard that. As I said, I like Tim Costello and he's admire him in many ways, but it was sad to realize that he'd moved or he'd matured, evolved to a position understanding the nature of prayer where he had, as it were, jettisoned a huge amount of the Bible. Because our understanding of what prayer is and how prayer works is something that God has shaped or communicated to us through the Scriptures. This is a really important principle about the Christian faith, that we have a faith that's revealed by God through the Bible, and we are called by the Bible itself to be true to that faith, to live out that faith as it has been communicated to us by the apostles, as it's put in the New Testament. And if you were to study prayer in the Bible, you'll see on just about every page, prayer is a very personal interaction with a God who is a personal God. Not just an idea about God, not just a God who's everywhere, but a very personal God. So you see in the Bible people arguing with God, disagreeing with God, putting their concerns before God. And in many times people are encouraged, told to pray, and that will bring results. That the things will change because of it. That famous passage in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear their cry and I'll heal their land. It's just speaking about the context of a nation that had so turned away from God that they were suffering. The nation was facing difficulties, famines, natural disasters, unnatural disasters. And God says to them, if you pray, if you repent, if you turn to me, I will hear your cry, and I will hear your land. One of the things I really like about being part of Oak Tree Anglican Church is people do believe in a God who answers prayer. And many, many testimonies of really what you might call miracles of God's prayer and of God's response to prayer and healing and bringing change in people's lives. And that's really the personal God that's revealed in the Bible. Jesus himself encouraged his followers again and again to pray. And when he healed people, when he was reaching out to people and responding to their need, he would pray as well, and things happened. And he says that we should seek, ask, and knock. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you will receive. knock and the door will be opened to you. But he didn't say seek because it's cool to be a seeker, or knock because you'll be built up by the experience of knocking and waiting there, or ask because it somehow makes you a better person to be asking. He doesn't say pray in those ways because it's a good spiritual experience for you and helps you fulfill your realize yourself. He says pray because you have a Heavenly Father who personally cares about you. And just as you might ask your father, if he's a good father, he will hear you and he will provide that request that you need, some food on your plate or whatever it is, a hug, you know. He says, so God is like that too. So ask, bring your concerns before him. That passage in Luke 22, which really struck me a few years ago as I was praying through the scriptures. I read 5 books of the Bible at a time. So I have a chapter from each one. It's helpful if you strike a lot of baguettes, you know, genealogies of people in some books, then there's always something in another book to interest you. But in Luke 22, it's just before Jesus is taken away for trial and crucifixion, and he's praying in the garden. And he asks his followers to pray as well. And he says, pray that you will not come into the time of trial. You won't be tested. You won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. And Jesus is praying so earnestly, and then he goes back to see, to find the others. There are stones thrown away, it says. And he finds that they're asleep, and so he wakes them up. And he says to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray. And those words, as I was reading them, it really struck home to me. It's like, why am I sleeping? Get up and pray. You know, what am I doing in my life? Am I actually praying about the things that are important that God has put on my heart? Am I awake to God's purposes and the way that he will work through prayer? And those poor disciples, they were asleep. And you have a sense that it was harder for them because they weren't praying at that time when Jesus, in fact, in some manuscripts it says he was sweating blood almost. He was praying so intensely. He was so laboring there before the Lord, but the disciples had, you know, just crashed. It's actually a bit of a mystery that God chooses to work through the prayers of his people. He's a sovereign God. He doesn't need to do it that way. But he explains again and again throughout the scriptures that he actually calls people to pray. He stirs people. That's a work of the Spirit, in fact. And we, in prayer, partner with God's redemptive work, his kingdom work. There's a relationship that we enter into with God. Now, the passage I'd like to look at today in this season of prayer is from Ephesians. And what I want to focus on is the idea of alertness in prayer, being awake as a person of prayer. This particular exhortation that Paul gives to pray, and he has a lot to say about prayer in his letters, a lot to say about it. This particular exhortation comes just after the famous passage where he instructs the people in Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. You know the story. He uses an image of a soldier armed to the teeth. And he says, you're not actually struggling against human beings in your spiritual life. You have enemies that are coming against you that are entirely spiritual. And he speaks about beings. He's speaking about demonic powers, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. By heavenly realms, he doesn't mean in heaven. He means, as we understand, the place where God is, but in the sky, in the air, which is where Satan and his minions were understood to be really active. So he says, therefore, because of that, because you're facing a very determined and implacable foe, you should be well armed. And he goes through the equipment that this soldier is supposed to be wearing, the belt of truth around the waist, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And you have this sense of a soldier who's just armed, as I said, to the teeth. Adrenaline's pumping through his veins. He's ready, he's armed, he's on the watch because of an enemy that is very vicious and determined to destroy him. And so that's the image that Paul uses here to describe what it means to be alert as a believer. And what's really interesting is that the application of this message about putting on the whole armor of God, about being awake and alert and equipped and paying attention to what's happening to you spiritually, the application for this is pray. That's the action that goes with being equipped in this way with these weapons. It's very striking. And he says, pray in the Spirit at all times with every prayer and supplication. Keep alert. Always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me. Let's just work through those statements that he gives. And remember, he's writing this letter to the whole church in Ephesus. And so we can understand that this is also a kind of base level instruction for all of us in our Christian life, an understanding about prayer. Pray in the Spirit. Well, in Paul's writings, when he speaks about praying in the Spirit or the work of the Spirit in prayer, he's referring to the movement of the Holy Spirit in the heart that inspires and inflames and guides us as we pray. So in two places, he speaks about the Spirit of God giving us words for God like Abba Father, that we have a discernment of our relationship as a child to the Heavenly Father because of the work of the Spirit. It's like we're imprinted, like a duckling following the mother duck. The Spirit of God imprints us with that awareness of being a child of a loving Father who hears our prayer. And that's fundamental for prayer. Jesus taught that again and again, that relationship. I want to acknowledge also in using a metaphor like that, that some people's relationship with their fathers is disappointing and even abusive, and it can be hard to connect with that kind of language, but this is speaking about a good father, a father as a father is meant to be, loving, faithful, and caring father. Sometimes in the letter to the Corinthians, in some cases, Paul speaks about prayer in the Spirit, and it's clear that he's speaking about speaking tongues in a couple of passages. But I think more generally, it describes prayer which is guided by and moved by the Spirit. That's clear, I think. That's what's understood here. So he's saying, pray inspired by the Holy Spirit. Be moved by the Spirit as you pray. And that implies, as we've been discussing in previous weeks, a commitment to listen to the Spirit as you pray. Pray in the Spirit at all times. All the time. Praying all the time in the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I think many people think of their week as composed of different blocks of activities. You know, you have your breakfast, you have your shower, you go to the toilet, you catch the tram, you go to work, you see friends. You sort of have these bits and pieces of time. There's church time as well, everything in its place, okay? And what's really riveting and striking about this is that Paul says pray at all times. All the time, prayer. It's not just, oh, it's prayer time now, I'm going to say my prayers. It's like prayer is an ongoing experience of the soul in all circumstances. What does that mean? I think it means an awareness of God's agency in all your circumstances. It's an awareness of complete dependence upon God and seeking the kingdom of God in all your circumstances. It's bringing the purpose and the intention of God to bear in all your circumstances. And, you know, this doesn't just come always easily. It's a result of an intentional stance towards life. It's an intentional outlook on life that you decide to be a person who is always engaged in prayer, who's always open to the Spirit to be speaking to you and being able and ready to pray about your circumstances. Maybe you feel cut off from God and things are shut down and not working. Maybe it's because you actually don't consecrate your hours and your days, your minutes, your times to the purpose of prayer which he's calling for. Now, Paul understood that what he was saying was extreme. It was quite intense. Pray at all times. He understood completely what he meant by that. And that's what he was asking of people. Pray at all times. And then he says, with every prayer and supplication, using two different words. And I think he means by that, sometimes it's translated as every kind of prayer. I think he means that you can pray in lots of different ways. Just go for it. All the different kinds of prayer that you want. You know, there's prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. I've woken up. It's another day. Thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to me today. Caught my tram. Praise God for that. It might be trivial things. It might be set prayers, like saying the Lord's Prayer or the Jesus Prayer, meditative prayers. You might be engaged in full-on warfare intercession, praying about something that's just an evil thing that you see in your life or in the circumstances. You might be praying for things that are very mundane. I know sometimes I've talked to people and I think I wouldn't want to bother God about that matter. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You know, the scriptures explain to us that we should bring all our concerns to God in prayer, whether they're big or whether they're small. In fact, in order to gain skill about praying about big things, it's good to practice on small things. That's what I reckon. The more you pray about small things, the more when you need them for the big things, you'll have resources to pray. So we're using every kind of prayer and supplication. Sometimes people worry, maybe my prayers aren't right, maybe they're not good enough, maybe I don't know enough about prayer. And you can be trained in prayer, but I think Paul is saying, look, use all kinds of prayer and supplication at all times, in every way. And then he says, to that purpose, therefore, because you're armed to the teeth, and you're praying in the Spirit, using all kinds of prayer all the time, because of that, keep alert. Pay attention. You know, when was the last time you were in a significant situation and something's beginning to go wrong or something really important's happened and you're not alert? You don't think, oh, I should be praying now. This is a God moment. And you just kind of sleepily drift through these circumstances where actually, you should be keeping in step with the Spirit. You should be consecrating that time to God. You can spend whole years like that, just drifting through life and giving God a thought every now and again. Paul is describing something much more intentional. Actually, if you live with someone, your parents or your husband's partner, friend, you get up in the morning, you see them, say hello, you talk to them, you greet them. You know, imagine you're going on a journey with someone, on a trip, you're going on a bushwalk. You talk to the person, you're engaging with them. Sometimes it's a slow conversation. There are sometimes times of silence, but it's an ongoing conversation. How much more, because God is always with you, because he's always hearing you and walking with you, how much more you should be in a constant, intentional conversation with God about your circumstances, about your life. And you know, so often you don't receive because you don't ask, because you're not bringing your life into the presence of God and your circumstances of others, and the circumstances of others as well. Keep alert and always persevere in supplication. Persevere. He's speaking about prayer that is not only alert, but it is determined. You know, perseverance means pushing forward. It means not giving up easily. It's not just saying, oh, Lord, please fix this. Oh, I don't have to think about that all the rest of the week. I've saved my little prayer. It's actually pushing into prayer. It's keeping going. And then he says, for all the saints, be praying for all the saints. Now, who are the saints? I don't think he meant a particular football club. And he doesn't mean dead people. The saints in the New Testament are just Christians. They're the members of the church. How is that be? What does that mean? Well, the word saint, it just means a holy person, a holy one. And in the understanding of the scriptures, based on the understanding of the people of Israel as God's holy people, the members of the church are considered to be holy. How can you be holy when you look at your life and think, I'm not living a holy life, or I'm, you know, messing up in various ways? How can I consider myself to be a holy person, a God's holy person? Well, the fundamental issue is that Christ has died for you. So he has consecrated you, sanctified you, made you holy by his blood shed for you. You have been declared holy through Christ's offering of himself for you. That's how they used to consecrate things in the Old Testament. There'd be a sacrifice, you know. And one of the meanings of the cross is that through his death on the cross, you have been consecrated for the life in Christ. He's called you to that. And so when he says pray for all the saints, he means pray for all those other people who have been consecrated by Jesus and are members of the church. So you could actually quite rightly begin to address each other as saints. Saint Ajay. Saint Ben. That would be appropriate, given the way the term is used in the New Testament. Later, Christians began to use it. They were almost afraid of the idea of being called a saint, and it becomes only something for very special people. But that's actually not the way it's used in the Bible. And we forget that consecration, being holy, is actually a gift from God. There's a huge therefore attached to it. Since you have been made holy by Christ, therefore, consider how you live. So he's saying here, Paul is saying, be alert and pray for all the saints, persevering in prayer for all the saints. So let me ask you a question. Whose job is it to pray for any one of you? Whose job is it to pray for Shanae in this church? It's all of your jobs. God has given you a calling, a divine calling, to pray for the whole church. It's your responsibility. That is what Paul is saying, for all of the saints. Now, you know, the standard stereotype is that when you get to heaven, you get to the pearly gates, and St. Peter kind of checks you out to see if he should let you in or not. It's a cute picture, but I'm not sure that it's in the scriptures. But imagine if he was to say to you, right, how'd you go with your job description? You know, have you been praying, interceding constantly, perseveringly for all the saints alertly? And you might say, I prayed for so-and-so when I heard they were in a bit of difficulty. That was about 6 years ago. And then last year I prayed for my mum because she had cancer. And then, you know, I remember I prayed for my niece, you know. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's saying being alert, intentional, and interceding all the time for all the people of God. What a difference that would make if the whole church was actually doing this, if we were praying for each other, interceding for each other, lifting each other up before the Lord, advancing the calling for the advance of the kingdom purposes of God in each other's lives. You know, a church should be an interlocking web of prayer, that if someone comes into that, they are enveloped and surrounded by the prayer of the whole church. The saints praying for the saints. What a beautiful and life-changing thing that is. What an amazing thing that is. I think of someone who's, you know, just coming into the church for the first time. What an amazing experience to be part of a community where they are being lifted up by so many people in their circumstances. You know, for the last 15 years or so, I've been teaching a lot about Islam and travel around the world speaking. And when I began to do that, I realized that I too need to be lifted up, you know, and supported. So began to collect intercessors. I collect intercessors like some people collect stamps and other people collect cars. I collect intercessors, okay? So we've got over 100 intercessors, and every month or so, a couple of weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, I send out a prayer letter. This is what's been happening. Please pray for us. We need your prayers so much. And I've just been so lifted up. I mean, so many amazing answers to prayer as well. So many amazing answers to prayer. I remember that time when, I might have mentioned this before, $10,000 debt that had come up in relation to publishing a book and the things that we had to put in place to do the Islam work. And the debt came at a certain day. I wasn't even sure how much it was. And on that very morning, someone gave me a check for $10,000 and said, I think God has told me that I need to support your ministry. And it cleared on the very morning of the day when I needed to pay the money. And that sort of thing's never happened to me in my life like that before, but it was incredible. And I always remember, I think that was so bizarre, you know, how can that happen? And this doesn't happen to me. I was just amazed. But that's a reflection that a lot of people are praying. You know, God had invited these people into prayer partnership, and he was working through their prayers. So this is a very challenging message for us, that we are called to engage in prayer for others. Now, you might think you're the one that needs the prayer and that your prayers have little to offer. You might think, I'm down here, I'm the one that needs help with prayer. That's not what Paul says. You know, Paul was a bit of a giant of faith. He had done so many things, been through shipwrecks, wild animals, beaten, whipped, you know, at risk for his life. He's even in chains now. And instead of saying to them, I, St. Paul, am praying for you all, so you don't need to worry about a thing. Aren't you so lucky that you've got St. Paul praying for you? He doesn't say that. He says, pray for me. And he's writing in Ephesus, I think he's writing to all of them. He's writing to the children, to the people who are at home, to the old people, to the young people, to the young men. He's saying, pray for me. What does he need prayer for? Well, he's trying to share the faith of Jesus with his captors, with the jailers. He's in prison for being a believer. And even though he's in prison, he really wants to tell them about Jesus. And so he says, pray that I'll be given a message. Of course, he's got a lot of messages. He knows what to say. He's done this so many times. But he wants the real message, the message that comes from God, which boldness will touch people's heart. He's aware that he needs an anointing from God to give the message that will lead people to faith, because he knows he's seen that so often that that's a work of God to unlock people's hearts. So he says, please pray for me, even though I'm an ambassador in chains, that I can declare this message boldly, because I have to. So he's actually a very humble guy, because he's, as I say, he's got this incredible authority, but he asks all these ordinary people to pray for him. So you might think, you know, that you're not actually, your prayers aren't worth much. Don't you believe that? That's a lie. You know, that just comes from the wrong place. What the Bible says, what Jesus says, what Paul is saying is, pray by all means, with all times and all places and all kinds of prayer, bring your requests before God and you'll be blessed. And many other people will be blessed as well. You know, in this sermon series, we are speaking at times about the inspiration of the Spirit in prayer, about the movement of God in prayer. But also there's a place for diligence, for determination, for alertness, for being engaged, for being active as a person of prayer. Now, in this life, we spend a lot of effort being trained. All the years that you've gone to school, I went to school for 12 years, then I had university for 8 years, and I've spent another 14 years doing different kinds of studies. And you've all had that. You know what it's like to be put through the ropes of being trained for stuff. But my question to you is, how much have you devoted yourself to being trained to be a Christian, to actually live the Christian life, apart from listening to sermons or coming to church? And you have a great opportunity at the moment. Debbie's running these prayer training evenings on a Thursday night through the period of Lent. You can just come in and out. Each week is a different topic, and it's a great way to give yourself some skills to develop your prayer readiness. I want to also say that this challenge of praying at all times, in all places, for all the saints, with great alertness in every kind of prayer, this is a lifelong task. So you might say, I can't do that, it's too hard, and give up today. My advice is, don't do that. Make a step towards it. When you wake up in the morning, consecrate the day to God. Whatever it is, find something that you can connect to in your day where you turn it into a prayer opportunity and build that and grow in that. And you will find that the Spirit of God will help you in that, and that will become deeper and deeper until you do get to that point where everything is prayer, where everything is an opportunity for prayer, where you see God at God's hand in all your circumstances. But that sort of understanding, that sort of maturity comes through initiative. It comes from you saying, yes, I will do this. I hear what you're saying to me, Lord. I believe that you've called me to pray and that you will, through my prayers, answer, and you'll be at work in the circumstances in the world around us. So by all means, my friends, be alert in prayer, engaged in prayer, and pray for all of the saints. Pray for James, St. James. He needs a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer. And St. Amber, and all of us together, pray for me. I need a lot of prayer as well. And you will see amazing, amazing things happen in our lives as we take up this challenge that God has given us through his word. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I want to pray firstly for those who've been discouraged in prayer. You've asked and you felt you haven't received and you felt like giving up. Lord, I pray that you would encourage those who've been discouraged, that they'd see answers even to small things so they could build their faith and their knowledge of your love and your purposes in their lives. I pray that you'd heal where people have disappointments and give fresh hope. I pray, Lord, for an awakening of spirits. Just awaken people's hearts to be aware of you in circumstances. Don't let us die the death of the long sleep, Lord. I pray that you'd awaken our minds to you, our hearts to the movement of your Spirit in our daily circumstances. Lord, I just give you permission to wake up the church, to stir us to prayer, to hear your voice, and to bring our concerns, the burdens that you give us by your Spirit, before you in prayer. Lord, I pray to release, that you'd release an anointing of a deeper prayer life upon the whole church, that we would see the glory of the kingdom of God revealed as we adopt the posture that you've called us to, on our knees, seeking your kingdom, inviting your presence in all the circumstances of our lives and of those around us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.